In this episode, we hear from Sophie. Sophie works within a local authority, working on their local offer, which every local authority has to offer. But she also talks about her experience of working in schools and for charities, supporting people to realise their potential. Okay, Sophie, could you tell everyone a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I started out in teaching, which I was drawn to because I wanted to do something where I could make a difference. And I felt that education was one of the best ways to give children the best start in life. And then through teaching, I got to work with children with different needs in mainstream classrooms, including global development delay, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and SEMH. Yeah. And I've obviously loved all the children I taught, but I found working with children with SEND particularly rewarding. When I left teaching, I got a job with a charity based in London, and the mission of that charity was to give young people in state schools access to relatable role models through their former students.
Okay.
And that's something that private schools and universities obviously capitalise on really well. Mm. And so the charity sought to give state schools the same opportunities. And I worked on a project with year 9 to year 13 students from a portfolio of around 25 schools, specifically from disadvantaged areas. And those students really inherently believe that people like them can achieve because of where they came from. Mm. Bringing back former students who've grown up in the same area, sat in the same classrooms, walked the same routes to school, that could be really powerful. And one school I worked with, for example, found that a former student was a really effective mentor for a group of young boys susceptible to gang crime in the area.
Yep.
And that had really helped to change their path. So again, it was a really rewarding role. After that, I moved to a SEND team and I've recently started working on a local offer. So I feel like I've always been drawn to roles where I can work with children and young people who are more likely to be excluded or have greater difficulties accessing the same opportunities as everyone else.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in there, Sophie. Some stuff that even knowing you, I didn't realise at all that you'd been involved with. You mentioned the local offer there. We're going to come back to the local offer in a second, if that's okay. Just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Firstly, you mentioned working with some children who had SEMH. In case there's anyone listening, what does SEMH stand for?
So social, emotional and mental health needs.
Brilliant. And for those listeners that maybe want to hear a bit more about that, we are going to speak to some people who work in those settings. And you also spoke about the charity you worked with. One of the main missions was having role models. And we know from speaking with young people in this area that that's really important for them. Why do you think it's important that young people have role models as well?
Seeing what life could be like.
Yeah.
And I think putting emphasis on relatability is really important. It's no good bringing someone from outside the area who's grown up in a different way. It's got to be someone who understands where they're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone they can relate to. I think young people are telling us that all the time as well, which is brilliant that you've seen that firsthand. So you mentioned there about now working on the local offer. What is the local offer, in case people listening they don't know?
Yeah, so every local authority has to know what education, health and social care services there are in their local area for children and young people aged 0 to 25 with SEND and their families and people who look after them. And then this is put into a directory, effectively, called the Local Offer. It's a website or a document. And it's the responsibility of all the services, teams, people who support people with SEND to make sure what they offer represented in the local offer. And it's really important that everyone can access it. It has to be constantly checked to make sure that it's up to date and accurate and inclusive, which is the journey I'm leading at the moment.
And you mentioned, obviously, every local authority has to have a local offer. Obviously, it's guidance as well set out, for example, in the Children and Families Act in 2014, that every local offer has to have that. And also part of that is they have to engage with young people. So just to get it clear, Sophie, say there's people listening in Peterborough or Norfolk, their local authority, if they were to go on or anywhere in the UK, they could just search local offer and they'd be able to find their information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's really important because it lets children and young people and their families know about what care and support is out there for them.
Yeah.
And there's a wealth of information on a local offer. For example, how to find inclusive clubs and activities, information about carers and disability benefits, support at university for disabled students, parent support groups, where to find mental health support, which is a tiny snapshot of what's available on a local offer. And at the moment as well, most local offers will have a support section for coronavirus as well.
Yeah, no, that's really important as well. I think, again, speaking with various children and parents, that kind of information is really helpful at this time. So I did mention there, obviously, legally, you know, local authorities have to engage with young people around the local offer and to ensure they have a voice within it. So why do you think it's important that local offers or even just, you know, local authorities engage with young people and help to give them a voice?
So from a local offer point of view, local services should reflect what local people need. And key to that is obviously talking to children and young people about what they think the local offer should include. And the Maltese Schools Council obviously provides that opportunity for young people to have a voice in that. And it's something that local authorities should tap into. In addition to that, the same code of practice also says that a local offer must be co-produced with young people and their families. More generally, I think that the Maltese Schools Council is unique in that it provides a space for children and young people to celebrate their differences, which is so important in a world where conformity can make us feel that we can't be who we are. Mm. And I also think that children and young people who get to be part of the Maltese Schools Council are really lucky because it equips them with the language to communicate their feelings and experiences.
Mm.
That language hasn't always been at the forefront. I know that when I was growing up, for example, I was watching a really close family member suffer from a mental illness. And because there was a lack of knowledge and understanding around it at the time, I didn't understand what was going on, nor did I have the language to talk about how it was making me feel. So I think your programs, such as the Mental Health and Resilience Program, are really powerful tools for breaking down perceptions and changing things for the better. So it's important to engage with the Maltese Schools Council for a number of reasons, not just a local offer point of view.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Thank you. I think, and that ties into what we were saying about how every local authority must have a local offer. And eventually that's what we want, you know, the Maltese Schools to do, to expand into as many areas as possible. And just a couple of things I want to touch on there, because I know there are issues that young people talk to us about a lot of the time. One of those is that, you know, some of them do tell us they don't feel like they can be who they are. And you touched on that sometimes, you know, society doesn't always allow people to express themselves. From your experience, Sophie, of working in education, do you think that, you know, education always lends itself to children being able to be who they want to be?
I think it depends.
Okay.
I think there can be different experiences, and it's about how that's fostered in a community. So, for example, as a teacher, I had the power to create a space where we could all celebrate differences, and we were really open about that. So I think it can depend. I think it can be quite subjective and reliant on individuals or cultures.
It's good to hear, though, from someone who, as a teacher, you know, understood that and embraced that. And I'd hope that, you know, the majority of people do. But I think still there is some work to do around that. And you also, the kind of final thing I want to mention is you just touched on mental health, and so you've experienced that yourself within kind of your own family. Do you think awareness of mental health in young people is improving? But also, what more do you think needs to be done?
I think it's definitely improving. Like I said before, I think those tools for being able to communicate and having the language to talk around it,
yeah,
has really moved it forward. But of course, I think there's always more to be done. Hopefully that can be driven by young people, children and their families about what they think is missing.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, really important. And I think, Sophie, that's great. You've given a great overview of kind of your background, how you've worked with young people, what the local offer actually is. And if you're in whatever area you are listening to this, if you go online and search the local offer within your local authority, you'll be able to find information, find services that can help you and your children. So thank you very much for your time, Sophie.
Thank you.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.